I'm Melanie Barr. I'm a public health nurse with the Department of Public Health in Los Angeles County, and I'm the director of nursing for the Los Angeles County Immunization Program. And this project was developed with my colleague, Lucille Rayford. Stand up, Lucille, who is the assistant nursing director for nursing education for the Department of Public Health in Los Angeles County. So this program, as you know, this project had to do with H1N1. As you know, everybody was preoccupied with H1N1 last year, so we have something else on H1N1. So we have no financial disclosures to disclose. So here's some objectives. Discuss the strategies to prepare a competent workforce for an emergent event. Identify potential barriers to training a large nursing staff. Discuss the strengths and weaknesses of using an online training system for emergency preparedness, and discuss the strengths and weaknesses of a train-the-trainer system for emergency preparedness purposes. So just to give you guys a little bit of the demographic background for Los Angeles County, we're approximately 4,000 square miles, which is about the size of the state of Delaware or Rhode Island. We have 10 million residents, which is very large. And as you can see from this map, we're broken up into what we call service planning areas. So we have 8 service planning areas for LA County, Antelope Valley, San Fernando Valley. I don't know if anybody's familiar here with LA County, and then San Gabriel, which is on the border of San Bernardino. And then what we call the West Side is the beach areas, the South Bay, South Metro, which is downtown, and East Los Angeles. And we have to break it up this way because we just don't have the workforce to concentrate on all of LA County. So we kind of break it up so we can concentrate on a certain area, and we have nurses and staff that do that. What makes it also difficult is we have approximately 140 different languages in LA County, so we really have to be diverse, and we have to think of things that we can meet all populations. There's 3 different public health departments within LA County. Los Angeles County, which we're from, Long Beach and Pasadena. And Long Beach and Pasadena both oversee the city of Long Beach and the city of Pasadena. So H1N1 in Los Angeles County, as you guys know, the first case arrived in 2009, and we also had our first case in 2009, and we had over 20 schools with reports of influenza-like illness. So Los Angeles County, since it was an emergency event and it was basically a pandemic, activated the ICS system, the incident command system, which I'm sure everybody is familiar with. So this thus began the planning for flu season, since we knew we were going to get all this H1N1 vaccine. The goal was to vaccinate all the uninsured and underserved population in LA County, which is approximately 2 to 3 million residents. So our dilemma, which thus began this project, is how are we going to prepare the department, the DPH workforce, to vaccinate 2 to 3 million people. So just our little portion, the immunization program and nursing administration, we start meeting to discuss the barriers to program staff participating, and I'll go into what program staff is. So some of the barriers that we identified was that most of the DPH program nurses did not have recent clinical experience. They may not know how to administer vaccine. And that goes for any nurse that hasn't been in the clinical setting for quite some time. And let me just stop here and kind of explain to you what program nurses are. We have 2 separate divisions. We have programs, which is like immunization program. I have nurses there. Plus we have maternal child, STD, tuberculosis, and then we have what we call community health services. And I'll show you another diagram. The community health services, those are the nurses that actually do public health visits, investigate diseases. What we also identified that it was a lack of knowledge related to H1N1 pandemic issues. H1N1 issues. The department really, it was kind of like a cluster of people knew about H1N1. My department, because it had to do with flu, ACD, which is acute communicable disease control, and then other few departments, the lab. But as far as programs, they weren't really in the loop as of yet. So also another barrier we identified is that a lot of the program nurses did not have experience working in the mass vaccination clinics or points of dispensing exercises, or pods as we called them. Usually every year when we have pods, that's usually the community health services or CHS nurses that run those. So to prepare for this, the big pandemic and the mass vaccination, DPH developed the following flu steering committees, and Lucille and I were part of the Workforce Readiness and Resiliency Work Group. And as you can see at the bottom, here is the objective that we had to deal with: develop and implement a training program to increase DPH clinical workforce readiness to administer vaccines. So just to give you a background, the clinical messaging work group, that group was responsible for developing messages for all clinicians in LA County. So that meant AAP, family practice, internal meds, hospitals. We have such a large county and we have so many different practitioners and different groups. It was quite a task to get to everybody. A community embedded communications work group, which developed communications for the community. School communications work group, which is another large thing. We have over, I think, 30 different school districts within LA County. So they develop messages to assist them to deal with their students as well as their parents. And the push and pull work group was recently to actually get the vaccine in and then basically find a plan to push it out. So hence the name. So as we're saying, this is the amount of nurses that we have. We have over 520 nurses that are program nurses, and we only have 180. So if we were going to vaccinate 2 to 3 million people, we could not expect this 180 of community health services nurses to do that on their own. So we basically had to take 3/4 of the workforce and train them within a short period of time. This just shows the age, and I don't want to offend anybody, but we have a lot of nurses that are older, within the 60 to 73 years of age, and I fall into this big chunk right here. 65% of us are 41 to 59, and a lot of those nurses have been in programs for years, meaning they haven't worked in the clinical setting. I think when this happened, I hadn't been in the hospital in 10 years, and previous to that, I worked in the neonatal ICU, and we hardly ever gave shots. So that was our big concern: would they feel comfortable with administering vaccines? So this is kind of shows you our timeline. Lucille and I started meeting, and her staff started meeting in June. We basically did an informal needs assessment with a group of nurse managers in July 2009, towards the end of July 2009. And we had to develop and prepare a training, conduct a train-the-trainer session, train non-LA County volunteers, because we had a lot of those in September and October, and then assess the effectiveness of the training. And then at the end, we had a hot wash, and I'll go over all of these real quick. But as you can see, we didn't have much time to do everything. So it was very quick. We were all very stressed, very tired, as I'm sure all of you were during H1N1. A highlight of our careers, as I can say. So our needs assessment was held during what we have as a nursing administration network, where all the nurse managers meet to discuss different things with the Department of Public Health and public health nursing supervisors. That's another meeting. We just had an informal roundtable discussion, and we wanted to kind of get their sense of what their staff can do, and do they think their staff was ready to participate in this. And I'll tell you a funny story later. So what we asked was years of experience. Did their nurses have any acute care experience? We have a lot of nurses that teach at community colleges or the Cal State system. So we wanted to know, does anybody teach? Can we use them as a train-a-trainer? How many years have they been outside of clinical practice, meaning how many years have they been outside of the hospital, their competency level, and comfort level? And then also we want to know, what do they know about H1N1? As I said before, it was kind of all clustered in certain departments, and we weren't sure really what the different programs or the various programs knew about H1N1, and we didn't know if the directors were relaying any messages. So the train-the-trainer courses, this is what we decided to come up with. At first it was just on the vaccine and infection control, but of course when we met with our work group, some more issues came up, and so we had to go over anaphylaxis guidelines, pandemic H1N1. We also added seasonal flu and pneumococcal polysaccharide vaccine which the CDC had recommending using PPSV to prevent comorbidities. So we decided we were going to educate on that. And in the beginning, the department had decided that we were going to use all three vaccines during our pods. But that kind of got pushed to the wayside, thank God. So we only used one vaccine, which was H1N1, which was enough in itself. And then also vaccination screening and documentation. A lot of people, this was their first time having any experience with vaccines. So to how to screen patients for all the various H1N1 vaccines, you know, the flu mist, and if they had seasonal flu mist before, and you know, the 4 weeks, that was kind of a task. And then also the vaccine administration technique, which is can be found on the EZIZ website. And EZIZ was developed by the California Department of Public Health. It's a training website for the Vaccine for Children program. So they have a lot of good resources. So if anybody would want to go on there, they have programs on storage and handling, vaccine preparation and administration, and a lot of them are user-friendly. So we identified some trainers. We had approximately 51 nurses and two physicians that attended our four-hour training session. And the trainers were basically required to attend the training and go back to their staff and complete the competency skills validation for all their clinical staff. So this included physicians and nurses. And we had about 90% complete everything. So additional trainings, these are some additional trainings that we did with the MRC, is the Medical Reserve Corps. We had approximately 175 volunteers, the USC School of Medicine, and the LA County Paramedic and Fire Departments. So the strengths of the Train the Trainer course, it was very comprehensive. Only one training session, which a lot of our department heads didn't want their staff gone all day, so we had to put it all in there. The state immunization branch actually participated, and we had a very easy checkoff form for the trainers to go over. So some of the weaknesses, the trainers kind of felt that they didn't know their role. They were kind of left like, you know, what do we do with all this information? The time constraints, as I said, it was only 4 hours, and that was a lot of information to push into 4 hours. So we didn't have enough time for them to practice, you know, two or three times for vaccination skills, and we gave them a lot of information. A lot of them had poor understanding of H1N1, and I can say right after this training session, the departments start putting out regular newsletters about H1N1, so that kind of helped with the other public health nurses. And poor understanding of our vaccination form. We use a form, what we call is FormTran, which can actually be scanned right after the clinic and dumped into a database. So that was currently being redeveloped. It was redeveloped like 3 or 4 times, so that posed a problem. And so this is a couple of pictures of some of our staff. That's me, and that's Lucille, and Lisa, who is in the back. And as you can see, all the paper that they have on their desk, it was quite a lot. So, and just to point out this picture, I wanted to add this in here because, and this is my hands right here. I remember working with this person because she kind of was kind of holding the needle as if she wasn't really comfortable with it. And so that's what one of the things we wanted to make sure is that you're comfortable, because when you have to give a shot or vaccination to a 3-year-old and you're holding the needle kind of timidly like that, you're liable to get stuck or somebody else is going to get stuck. So that's, we wanted to empower them to really feel comfortable with giving vaccinations. And just to point out, these are our dummies that we use for our current vaccine administration programs. So the e-learning, which we had the trainers go back and help everybody go onto our e-learning training systems, were basically the same. And so they had to go back and do all the e-learning modules and then get checked off on vaccine administration and preparation, as well as anaphylaxis and bloodborne pathogens. So I'm sorry this didn't come out, I don't know why, but these are the numbers of the people that actually completed the training modules. And here are some of the pre and post test mean scores as of December. And H1N1, as I said, the department started putting out newsletters regarding H1N1, so everybody basically did really good. But as far as documentation and screening, after the post test, they did a lot better. Oh. So the strength on the, of the online training system, it was easily accessible. We were able to give it to different departments. The educational materials were easily updated. It was a refresher course for many. We were able to give out CMEs, and it facilitated collaboration between the two programs. Some of the weaknesses, it was a learning curve. A lot of people, as I said, we have a lot of older nurses, weren't familiar with online training, so that kind of posed a little bit of a problem. I got many calls. Can you help me with my password? So that was one of the things. One of our big problem is the training wasn't mandated for all clinical staff. So CHS nursing and the DHS, Department of Health Services nurses, were not required to complete that. And that posed a lot of problems because during the pods, we had a lot of med errors, and then we had some misunderstandings about how to fill out the forms, and we know what to do now. So continuous changings, and also a lack of method to assess the application of practical skills. We weren't able to go to all the pods, so that posed a problem. Lessons learned, we should have probably did it all day, but we got a little resistance. Next time, if we do have something, we want to make time for return demonstrations and screening scenarios. So what can we improve on? And I've seen a lot of skills validation or competencies. That's one thing that we want to work on, is developing competencies for our public health nursing staff. And then also enhance our e-learning system so that we can use it for data retrieval and analysis. And then successes, we had over 100 pods in LA County, and we were able to vaccinate over 200,000 people. Not the 2 to 3 million that we expected, but that was still a lot. And it was, I have to say that it was one of the highlights, you know, of everybody's career after we met, after it was all over, that we all worked really well together. So these are some acknowledgments that we'd like to thank, and I definitely like to thank Lucille for bringing me on with this project. She worked me like a dog, but that's okay. It was a highlight of my career. So, thank you for allowing me to present this.